This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk, and I'm here with Don Sanchez, legendary five-time Emmy Award-winning television journalist, having been in the field for 40 years.
4 years, 5 months, and 3 days, but who's counting?
Is that right?
Yeah.
But you retired in 2012, and you've still been out there doing stuff, so it's not...
Oh, absolutely.
It's not really retirement, is it?
Well, I retired at the end of 2012, and then they brought me back. I used to cover the Academy Awards. One of the highlights of the Academy Awards was the time of Clint Eastwood was up for an Oscar for Best Film that his wife, Dina Ruiz, at the time, you know, she'd been an anchor at a television station in Salinas. She went to school with my daughter at San Francisco State. And so she spotted me in the mass of humanity over there and insisted that Clint come over and talk to us. So we got a nice little sound bite from him that nobody else could get. That was nice. And she was explaining, my daughter's name is Dawn. I'm Dawn. You know who named her. So Clint starts doing this little rhythm thing going, oh, Dawn, 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 and Dawn, Dawn. It went on for a while. But the news director at ABC 7, the Disney-owned station in San Francisco, I worked for so long, loved that. So that used to be, every time she would see me, it would be, oh, it's Dawn and Dawn, Dawn and Dawn. Yeah, some great memories, great times, because the last dozen years or so, I covered mostly entertainment, and I did movie reviews.
Well, you know, you might have even run across my uncle, Tony Taran. He was in about 40 years of those as a trumpet player in the Academy Awards.
And he was in
the Wrecking Crew and also a solo trumpet player in the I Love Lucy show, really good friends with Desi and Lucille.
Oh, my goodness. The Wrecking Crew is, of course, phenomenal. Talk about legends. They were everybody in music back in the days. They were Jan and Dean and the Beach Boys and the Archies, and who knows? I mean, they backed up everybody. And the great thing about them was that they looked at the music, agreed to music immediately, and time was precious, and they didn't want to spend a lot of time in the studio. You could understand that.
Yes.
So these guys would do it in one take.
It's true.
Sometimes two, but boy, yeah, the Wrecking Crew. My goodness. Well, oh, I know. They brought at Mill Valley Film Festival, they had a screening, a showing of that documentary, and then they went down the street from the theater in Mill Valley to 152 Throckmorton, the theater, where people like Robin Williams used to appear when he was working on his material. Anyway, they did a concert. They did a show. Can't call it a concert, I think. The Wrecking Crew performed that night, and it was wonderful. It was just phenomenal.
Thank you, Don.
Bye.
All right, thank you for that. And if you're looking at the Twitch cameras, that's Darren Pack trying to figure out why we're not getting audio out of Twitch with the high-def camera. And we've now ended the stream, and we're going to try again. But it is 9:40 on a Tuesday, and we bring in our friend Karen Lyle from SalesportsTalk.com. Karen, Happy New Year to you, and I know you want to take a look back on the year that was 2022 out on the waves, right?
Well, I do, because looking back also helps us look forward to what's going to come up in 2023-24, in the sailing world anyway.
All right, well, let's start off with SailGP. That's when the boats go really fast, as I would say.
That's true, and we had SailGP return to San Francisco for their second race in the spring of 2022, and it was really great because the relationships that we established with Ben Easley, Tom Slingsby, Jimmy Spittle, and then also I spent a little bit of time with Delapierre, who was the up and coming captain of the France team that's now in second place. They're going into their next race next week. And it's amazing to see the rise of France in that, and the addition of additional races. SailGP is really going strong.
Alors, les fonds de la patrie, le jeu de gloire est arrivé contre nous. Sorry. I like national
anthems. But of course,
yes.
I love it. I mean, hey, you've got a good voice, maybe. You know, maybe you can be featured in one of
our
little musical analyzers.
I'll sing the Marseillaise somewhere for you.
That's right. Well, but also we can't forget that Tom Slingsby's number one right now. And we've got, you know, he's coming in on the top of the leaderboard. So he's been staying up there. And he was one of the first people to sign our wall here at Sales.
Do you know what I call Tom Slingsby?
What do you call him?
The Slinger.
There you are.
That's right.
There you are. And we talked to him when he was stuck outside of Australia because he couldn't go back, and his dog was being cared for, and he was having to miss the dog from afar.
Poor guy. All right, let's move on. America's Cup.
Yes, so the 37th America's Cup is underway for August and October 2024. And remember, we had the America's Cup last time in New Zealand. I was going to go, and the outbreak of COVID happened.
Yes.
That one little tiny outbreak happened right when I was supposed to go quarantine.
Ugh.
So I'm hoping to go to Barcelona in 2024, which is where the America's Cup will be. But certainly the drama and the contest has begun. It is a lot of lead up to these big races, with a lot of intermediary races and the teams getting their boats together and design started underway. I think one of the innovations in the America's Cup is that they now, instead of having reconnaissance teams from each team spying on the other, there's kind of an official mandated team that spies on each team. It's only one reconnaissance team that reports to everybody. And that's kind of a new change in the way the America's Cup discovery process happens, because everyone's trying to find out what the other team's doing for their designs and see if they can beat them in designing a faster boat.
What would you say? I mean, because the way it works now, New Zealand is just going to wait around for the rest of the world to figure out who's going to take them on, right? So how many people, countries? I mean, there's America, there's Italy, there's Great Britain, France. Who else are some of the, Australia, who else are some of the contenders?
Well, on that it kind of reveals itself as each team basically announces what, you know, who's going to accept the challenges. There's the challenger, and then the challenger is it starts with two: the person who holds the trophy and the person who challenges the trophy. And from there, you have the rules that get established by those two, and then the other boats have to basically mount campaigns and get backers, because it costs quite a bit of money to create a design team and a sailing team and so forth. And so those get announced. Now, I know that the New York Yacht Club is going to go for it again, which I'm really glad to see. And all of those have, you know, we'll be teasing out the details as to who's doing what. We have Ineos, we have Red Bull Racing, Luna Rossa, and New York Yacht Club. So right now it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams.
How much does it cost, do you think, to put a challenge together for the America's Cup? Do you have any idea?
Oh, it's not under $100 million. I have to say that I had figures before inflation, but I don't know what they are today. And a lot of it depends too upon what the design is and what they're having to do to design that boat. Because really, the America's Cup is what leads the way in boat designs, and it even, you know, trickles down into recreational racing and boating, because the great designs that we had in America's Cup are actually what we see in the boats that we see on the water out here in the bay and other places around the world.
Speaking with Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com, as we always do at Tuesdays at 9:40 Pacific time. What about the games of the Olympiad and getting out there on the water this year, Karen?
Well, of course, we know that in the Tokyo Olympics were greatly affected in timing and so forth by the pandemic in 2020. And the U.S. team is reorganizing. They're getting ready. We got to meet the players. We had Maggie Shea on the show and Riley Gibbs. And actually, I went out before, I guess it was 2019 when the team was racing here in the Bay, I went out on a chase boat and with my videographer, and we captured some great footage of the training, which was quite exciting out there. Such feats of speed, courage, and balance with the solo racers or double-handed racers hanging out over the side of the boat, you know, using the trapeze or just their weight to be able to move around those corners very quickly on the small boats. But we will have Paul Kayart. He is now the person at the helm for the U.S. Olympic team, and we've had so many conversations behind the scenes as to what's coming down the pike. So there'll be things that are teased out and revealed as the U.S. sailing team really takes on the goal they really want to be able to do it this coming time. It's a major goal for the United States to put support behind their team.
USA. USA.
Yes.
All right.
You bet.
Now, we also saw a lot of shuttered venues, yacht clubs, marinas, come back, start stirring, taking off a mask or two, and get going again. And how was that?
Well, you know, one of the things that I found intriguing is that, you know, all of it, the yacht clubs, there were some people, the yacht clubs, people use this word yacht club, sailing club, thinking that it is just an exclusive organization. And certainly if you're looking at St. Francis Yacht Club or the New York Yacht Club, you do have that element of, well, that exclusivity and privilege. But most of the majority of yacht clubs and sailing clubs are community-run in the United States, and they are the members basically pitching in and volunteering and helping, like the Berkeley Yacht Club. Is, you know, they have maybe a manager and two hired part-time staff, but all of the services of the yacht club are done by the people who are the sailors and those who are supporting sailing or powerboating or whatever it may be. And it is something that goes from, in the pandemic, everything shut down, and there was such an impact upon those clubs because the sociality and the volunteerism were so much a part of it. So when we had all these rules and, you know, for the pandemic, for what happens with employees, well, it affects the volunteers. Anyway, so those clubs have come, many of them have recovered and come back strong. We've lost some, but we wanted to support that, and so we brought in any place where there was a party or something happening. There were also some changes in the pandemic that have magnified the way and expanded. For example, in Treasure Island, which is where the 1939 Golden Gate International Exposition happened, and there are anniversary celebrations. In 2021, we had 15 people on the island because it was complete lockdown, and Pacific Interclub Yachting Association and basically organized, Patty Mangan and myself, organized a sail around the island with 50 boats because we couldn't have people because it was all shuttered on the island. And this year, that's been repeated and actually been put into a committee so that there's going to be, in 2022, we had another round 360-degree parade in celebration of the anniversary. We had planes flying overhead. And next year, there's already a committee in place to do that. So we've now started something because of the pandemic and because of the shutdown that's going to be continuing, which is this 360-degree tour of both power boats and sailboats together on the anniversary, which is usually February 18th of the year. And it's nice to see that something that came out of a shutdown is actually going to be a really fun party going forward every year.
And finally, the Vendée Round the World Classic, which leaves out of La Belle France, and that's close to my heart because, as I mentioned many times, I interviewed Bruce Schwab, 2005, 2004, whatever it was, as he went around his satellite phone, and he had good days and bad days, but that was some pretty, I thought, stirring radio when he would come on and describe where he was. How about the Vendée?
Well, as you know, during the pandemic, that happened, and we covered and talked to Pip Hare in 2021, but we also talk to other contenders who are going to be coming into those races. And as in and last week, you know, with Pierce Coffman, we have the opportunity to follow people's journey as they prepare for this great race. Because whether they win the race or not, just being able to go out on a boat, supported by a team remotely, and do your own repairs if your rudder breaks, or handle things, you know how all the sailors came forward to rescue someone who went overboard. You know, there's all of these dangers that are out there, and so when you think about a Van de Globe race, it really is a race against and with cooperation, hopefully nature allowing you to live. You know, that's something that the competitors feel strongly about winning, but they also feel strongly about surviving and supporting each other if there's an emergency.
When would you, we just have less than a minute, would you ever consider a Vendée? I know you like not going solo hand, right?
I don't have the chops for that yet, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And, you never know, though. You never know. Maybe if I can get you on a boat, then you can get me in the Vendée Globe.
All right. Karen Lyle from SailSportsTalk.com. Check out the website for a lot more information on sailing. As always, thanks a lot.
Thanks. We'll talk to you in this new year.